start talking about is we want to talk a little bit about how cells divide and how we get new cells in organisms. There are basically two main types of cellular division. The first is what we call mitosis, and the second is meiosis. And mitosis is basically how most of our cells divide. The cells that divide mitotically are what we call somatic cells, typically. Okay? And they're basically, somatic cells are all of the cells in the body except for what we call germ cells. Germ cells are the only type of cell that go through meiosis. And these are reproductive cells. So, for example, in your body, you would have germ cells if you're a male in the testes, if you're a female in the ovaries. Okay? All of the other cells in your body are what we would consider to be somatic cells. All right? And in the process of mitosis, essentially what we're going to do is we're going to go from one complete cell into two brand new complete cells. Okay? And we're going to talk about the process of how we're going to get those two complete cells from one complete cell. That's the process of mitosis. Meiosis, on the other hand, we start out with a single cell, and what we're going to get in the process of meiosis are four half of cells. And we'll talk about what we mean by a half of a cell here. If you think about it, you are a result of your mom and your dad, right? Maybe not the mom and the dad you think they are, right? But at least a mom and a dad, because half of your genetic material came from mom and half came from dad, right? Okay. And so in meiosis, what is going to be produced are half of cells as far as genetic information is concerned. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the process of cellular division then. When we talk about cellular division, one of the most important things that we can talk about is the genetic material that is passed from cell to cell. And we all know that genetic material is in the form of DNA. Okay? So really we're talking about DNA. Now, what we're looking at in this picture is DNA, the structure of DNA. What I really want you to focus on are these two parts of the picture up here. This one where the DNA looks like spaghetti, and this one where the DNA looks like a big X. It's what we call a chromosome. Okay. Normally, when the cell is normally functioning, when it's not dividing, the DNA is in the form of what we call chromatin. And chromatin, when we look at it in a cell, it looks like a bunch of spaghetti or just a bunch of lines or a piece of yarn, whatever analogy you want to think of it. I think of it as like kind of like a plate of spaghetti. Okay, so most of the time in your cell, the DNA is in the form of chromatin. When the cell gets ready to divide, what it does is it winds the DNA up into tight bundles, and these tight bundles look like X's. And at this point, we say that the DNA is in the form of chromosomes. Okay. So typically, the DNA is in the form of chromatin, and then as the cell gets ready to divide, the DNA winds up tightly into the form of chromosomes, or what looks like X's. Okay. Any questions about that? All right. So when we look at a chromosome, typically, like we said, it looks like a big old X. And what we're actually looking at is we're looking at two homologous chromosomes, or a homologous pair of chromosomes. Essentially, when we look at one of these X's, you can pull that X apart and have two individual chromosomes that are essentially close to identical. Okay, they're what we call a homologous pair. All right. So let me give you an example of this. In humans, Okay. There are 46 chromosomes. Okay. So how many different types of chromosomes are there in humans? There's actually only 23 different types of chromosomes. Does that make sense? So we have two of each type of chromosome. So there's chromosome number one, chromosome number two, chromosome number three, so forth. Right? Any questions about that? Did I say that right? How many pair did I say? 46. There's 46, yes. Okay. Now in human females, there are 46 pairs of chromosomes. In human males, there's actually only 45 pair. The last pair is actually not a true pair, okay, the sex chromosomes. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. So we have 23 different types of chromosomes, but they come in pairs, so we have a total of 46. And so a normal human cell is what we call a diploid cell. A diploid, or another term for diploid, is 2n. Di means two, and the ploid level means numbers of chromosomes. So we have two times a certain number of chromosomes, or what we call a 2n individual. And so a diploid means having a set of two of each chromosome. Okay, having a set of two of each chromosome.
And that's human cells? Or?
Well, normally we are diploid, and actually most organisms are diploid. Okay, not all, but most. Okay, most organisms are diploid in their normal state, I guess you could say. Right. So some other terminology that's associated with diploid: some cells are what we call haploid cells. Haploid cells are sometimes what we call 1n cells, or you'll hear me refer to them as just n cells, because one times anything is that thing, right? Okay. So we can call them 1n or just n cells. These are cells that contain unpaired chromosomes. So where would you find a haploid cell in the human body, for example? Yeah, your sperm cells and ova would both be haploid cells. Does that make sense? Okay, so that way when you put two haploid cells together, a haploid sperm fuses with a haploid egg, you get a diploid offspring. Okay. Any questions about that? Now sometimes even our cells become what we call tetraploid. Tetra means four, so these are 4n cells. This is when we have four homologous chromosomes of each type. Okay. So this is a tetraploid. That's what tetraploid means. Now at certain times in our cell's life cycle, most of them are going to be tetraploid at some point in their life cycle, and we'll talk about why they become tetraploid. There are some organisms that their normal state is a tetraploid state. Whenever an organism has a state of more than diploid, okay, so if it's tetraploid, hexaploid, octoploid, whenever we have that type of a situation, those organisms are what we call polyploids. Okay, so poly means more than a few. Okay. So polyploidy is when there's more than two of each chromosome. So during part of our cell's life cycle, our cells are going to be polyploid for just a short period of time. Some organisms, however, do have polyploid as their normal state. For example, the wheat that you eat, most wheat is actually 4N in its normal state. Okay. There are other plants. Most of the time, polyploidy occurs in plants. That doesn't occur that often in animals. Some plants that I'm aware of can be hexaploid. There's also octoploid plants. Sometimes, but many times, the normal stage is tetraploid. Right. Any questions about that? Okay, so now we have some terminology so we can talk a little bit about the cell cycle and cellular division. This picture is showing the cell cycle of kind of an average human cell. Now, realize that as we talk about this cell cycle, the times that are listed here are for an average human cell. This may be very different depending on the type of organism we're talking about. For example, with bacteria, where it says 8 to 10 hours here for this part of the cell cycle to occur, in a bacterial cell that may be 8 to 10 minutes or even less. Okay. And so the times are actually quite variable depending on the organism, and actually it depends a lot on the type of cell that we're talking about. But all somatic cells, okay, so we're going to talk about mitosis up here, all somatic cells go through the cell cycle. Okay, they're constantly going through the cell cycle, or at least most of them constantly go through the cell cycle. In our body, there are some cells that stop this process during development. Okay, let me give you one example. If you have a brain injury and some of your brain cells are killed, can you grow new brain cells? You can't, okay? And so, but you could at one point, right? I mean, my little boys that are 2 years old, obviously their brain's not fully developed. So at some point when they reach their mature state, then their brain's going to stop growing. And from that point on, it's not, cellular division is not going to occur anymore in the brain. Okay? But in general, most cells go through cellular division. Okay? And whenever they go through cellular division, they go through this cell cycle. Okay? And it's kind of a never-ending process in some respects until the cell dies. So first of all, we're going to talk about this part of the cell cycle right here, from this point in the picture to this point. So this whole part of the cell cycle here. When the cell is in this part of the cell cycle, which is what, about 3/4 of the cell cycle, we say that the cell is in interphase. Okay? So these three periods are what we call part of interphase, right? Now, interphase, if we look at a cell underneath a microscope, we can tell if it's an interphase versus cellular division phase of the cell cycle. And the way that we can tell is by looking at the DNA. When a cell is in interphase, the DNA is in the form of chromatin. Okay? When it's in that cellular division part of the cell cycle, the DNA is in the form of chromosomes. Any questions? Okay, so interphase takes up most of the life cycle of the cell. Within the interphase, there are three periods. There's what we call the G1 period, the S period, and the G2 period. Okay, now the G1 and the G2 periods are pretty easy to explain. The G stands for growth. Okay, so in the G1 and the G2 period, the cell's growing and just kind of going through its normal cellular functions. Any questions about that? So once we get a new cell, we can kind of think of this as right here is where we start a new cell, okay, to some extent. And then what happens is we go through the first growth period. So after a new cell is formed, it grows for a while, which kind of makes sense, right? And then this S period occurs, and we're going to talk about the S period. And then after the S period occurs, we have another period where the cell just simply grows. Okay, so and so you can see growth here, growth here. That's what G stands for. Any questions? The middle period in interphase is what we call the S period. S stands for synthesis. Okay, stands for synthesis. What does it mean to synthesize something? Any music majors in here?
It's more like some mimic.
Yeah, it mimics it. If you think about it, it sounds distorted in music, but what it's really doing is it's really repeating that note again and again, right? That's what a synthesizer does. And so the same thing is true with, say for example, one of my best friends growing up, he's a PhD organic chemist. And what he does is he synthesizes drugs, okay? And kind of a joke between us. We hang out now, both he and I, with my brother-in-law, who's a pharmacist. So when I introduce them to people we don't know, I always introduce them as my friend that produces drugs and my friend that deals drugs. So it's kind of kind of our inside joke. Really, that's what they do, right? But what my friend that synthesizes drugs does is they find a drug out in nature that might be of use. Say, for example, it might be in a plant. Usually we can't get enough of that drug to actually treat any disease, even though we know it might help diseases. And so what chemists have to do is they have to artificially reproduce that drug. And that's what we call drug synthesis. And that's what he does. So in the synthesis phase of DNA, what we're going to do, or what the cell's going to do, is it's actually going to copy or synthesize DNA. All right? So at the first of the S period, the cell is 2N. By the end of the S period, the cell is going to be 4N. Does that make sense? So what happens is the DNA is simply replicated. It's synthesized. So at that point, we have two pieces of DNA. And if you think about it, that kind of makes sense, right? Because when I told you what mitosis originally was, we're going from one complete cell to two new complete cells. And if we're going to do that, we have to do what? Get another copy of DNA for that second cell. Okay? And so during the synthesis period of interphase, again, the DNA is replicated or copied. And so now, at the end of the synthesis period, we have two sets of DNA, or we could say the cell was 4N. We'd have four of each chromosome. Okay? Any questions about that? All right. So, in interphase, it consists of three periods, the G1, the S, and the G2 period. And what happens in the G periods again? It grows. Simply, the cell grows. What happens in the S period? Synthesis. Which, what's synthesis? The DNA replicates. Okay, so we double the amount of DNA we have in the cell. Any questions about that? Now, the next part of the cell cycle is what we call the cellular division part of the cell cycle. The cellular division part of the cell cycle has two periods or parts to it. The first is what we call mitosis. We've kind of introduced that term. The second part is cytokinesis, and we'll talk about what cytokinesis here is here in just a minute. So basically, at this point, what we're going to do in the cell is the cell is going to divide into two new cells, but in order to do that, the DNA has to be separated first, right? So you get one cell with exactly 2N genetic material and another cell with exactly 2N genetic material. And that's essentially what's going to happen in mitosis. Mitosis is there in this process so that the DNA can be split equally between two cells. Any questions about that? So let's take a look at what happens in mitosis. You'll notice in mitosis there are four phases. There's what we call prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase. Okay? And there's actually quite a bit that occurs in each of these phases, but again, we're going to kind of simplify this so that you just have a general idea of what's going on in mitosis. Okay. So in this picture, it shows all the different stages of mitosis. The first stage in mitosis is prophase. All right. Now in prophase, very simply what happens is the DNA winds up and basically chromosomes appear. All right. Before the cell goes into prophase, what form is the DNA in? Okay, it's in the form of chromatin. One other thing that happens when the cell goes into prophase is notice that in this drawing here, there is no nuclear membrane. And so before the cell can go into prophase, the nuclear membrane kind of dismantles itself. Okay, so really two things are happening in prophase. The nuclear membrane basically dismantles itself or disappears, and chromosomes start to appear. Any questions about that? So how do the chromosomes appear? Well, the DNA just starts to wind up tight. One analogy you might want to think of is this. If when my mom gets ready to do all of her sewing that she does, she's constantly knitting and tatting and all sorts of stuff. But she never stops. But what she does with her yarn is she'll sometimes roll it up into like different bunches, right? On a ball or a stick or something like that. And that's essentially what's happening with the DNA. The DNA is like yarn, it's just kind of all over the place. And what the cell's doing is it's organizing that DNA into chromosomes. Okay? Any questions? So in prophase, the nuclear membrane disappears, the chromosomes appear. The next step in mitosis is metaphase. And in metaphase, very simply what happens is the chromosomes line up in the center of the cell. Right? Now the reason that the chromosomes line up in the center of the cell is so that the chromosomes can be divided equally between the two cells. Right? Let me give you an analogy that might help you to understand this a little bit better. Maybe it's not the best analogy. But when my kids go out and go to a parade around here, they throw candy in the parades. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a small town parade, but they always throw candy. So when they come home, they have this big bag of candy. And almost as soon as we get home, what happens? We have fights over who gets which piece of candy, right? Okay, or arguments. And so, you know, I can't just grab a handful of candy and put it in a bag and say, this is your candy. I actually have to sit down, put the candy in a pile in the middle, separate out kinds of candy, right? And then you have to show them that you're dividing those candy equally. And so that's kind of what's happening in mitosis. In mitosis, the cell is putting those chromosomes in the center of the cell so that it can divide, make sure that each side of the cell is going to get equal amounts of each type of chromosome. Okay? Any questions about that? Those of you with brothers and sisters can relate to that, right? Okay. So, the chromosomes are just simply lined up in the center of the cell. Something else that we see happening is that these spindle fibers start to form and attach to the chromosomes. And basically what these spindle fibers are is they're microfilaments. Remember when we talked about skeletal elements in the, cytoskeletal structures in the cell? Microfilaments were structures that were able to help the cell change shape, so they're contractile. And so these filaments are going to start attaching to the chromosomes. In the next step in mitosis, anaphase, what's going to happen is the chromosomes are going to be pulled to opposite sides of the cell. Right? So half of the chromosomes are going to be pulled this way, and half are going to be pulled this way. And the way in which they're pulled is by these microfilaments that are contracting or becoming smaller. All right? Any questions about anaphase? Okay, in the last step in mitosis, it's what we call telophase. And in telophase, you'll notice something happening here. What's forming around this DNA? A nuclear membrane. So two new nuclear membranes start to form. And you'll notice here that these are not in the form of X's anymore, at least not all of them. Some of them are. And so what else is going to happen in this stage? The DNA is going to start to unwind. So if you look at a cell in telophase, you may or may not see chromosomes. You may or may not see pieces of chromatin. In other words, during telophase, the chromosomes start to unwind and chromatin starts to form. Okay. Any questions about that? Okay, so just to briefly go through again, in prophase, nuclear membrane disappears, chromosomes start to appear or wind. Okay. In metaphase, chromosomes line up in the center of the cell. Anaphase, chromosomes are pulled to opposite ends of the cell. Telophase, two new nuclei start to form and the chromosomes start to unwind and get back into the form of chromatin. Okay. Any questions about that? Now let me ask you another question. How many N is the cell in prophase, a normal human cell?
It's
4N. Okay. Now why is it 4N? This is where most students kind of mess up on mitosis and meiosis.
So it can divide.
Okay, it's 4N so that it can divide. If you remember the cell cycle, before we go into prophase, it's already gone through what? The S period. Okay, so we've doubled the amount of DNA before we get into prophase. Does that make sense to everybody? How many N is the cell in metaphase? 4N. Anaphase? It's actually still 4N. There's 2N, though, on this side of the cell and 2N on this side, right? And in telophase, the cell is still 4N, right? But there's 2N that is inside of this nuclear membrane and 2N that's in this side of the nuclear membrane. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay, the last step in the cell cycle is what we call cytokinesis. Okay, it's part of the cellular division part of the cell cycle. And what cytokinesis is it's the actual physically dividing of the cell into two new cells. So mitosis, what we're doing is we're dividing the genetic material to opposite ends of the cell, right? In cytokinesis, we're actually going to split the cell in half and get two brand new cells. Okay? Any questions about that? So we want to talk a little bit about cytokinesis. Cytokinesis occurs differently in animal cells versus plant cells, the two main types of cells we've been talking about. Let me just go to this. Let's back up real quick here. This is just showing the stages of mitosis in plant cells. In prophase, notice this nuclear membrane, it's starting to disappear. You see it kind of depicted as moving away. Okay. Chromosomes start to appear. Metaphase, chromosomes what? Line up in the center of the cell. Anaphase, they do what? Move to opposite ends of the cell. Okay. And telophase, what happens? Two new nuclei start to form, and notice these chromosomes start to unwind and become chromatin. Okay. So to cytokinesis. Cytokinesis in animal cells occurs because of microfilaments again, those cytoskeletal elements that can contract. And basically what happens in an animal cell is those microfilaments contract so much that the cell just plops in half. Okay. I'm going to give you a couple of analogies of when you have experienced this before, right? And where you experience it every day or something similar to this, right? The first is this. Have any of you ever made bread or cookies before? You can take the dough, and if you just squeeze the dough, you don't even have to pull it apart. If you just squeeze it really tightly, what happens? It falls apart, right? Very similar to what's happening here in cytokinesis. Another place where this occurs in your body every day, maybe multiple times, is when you defecate. Okay? All of you don't understand what defecation is. It's the scientific term for pooing. All right. Okay. If you think about it, you have a sphincter at the opening of your anus, right? Okay. So when that fecal material comes out, you squeeze that sphincter, and it squeezes so tight that a piece of fecal material plops off. Same principle. All right. Any questions? So hopefully you'll all remember that good analogy, right? For cytokinesis. Any questions about how animal cells go through cytokinesis? So very simply, the cell just gets squeezed so tight that it breaks in half. Plant cells are a little bit different. What happens in a plant cell is they don't squeeze and break into two cells. Remember, plant cells have cell walls. And so the way that the new plant cell forms is they just form a new cell wall down the middle of the cell. Okay? So just simply a new cell wall is formed. And that's how cytokinesis occurs in plant cells. So it's kind of like if you were building a good, maybe a fairly decent analogy for this would be if you're building a house and you wanted to make two new rooms in the house, you'd just what? Put a wall down the center of the room. Okay? Build a wall down the center, and that's very simply what happens in plant cells. Okay.
How does it make the wall?
With the cellulose, it actually just migrates the cellulose. Kind of migrates and it just builds onto each end and they build towards the center. So it's kind of similar to the way that you would build a wall in a room. It's not exactly how I would build one, but you could build it that way, right? You could start putting 2x4s coming from each end and then have them meet in the middle. That's essentially how it builds it. If you've ever built a house, you would never want to build a wall that way, but you could, right? That's the way it happens here. Any questions about mitosis? Yeah.
So when it builds the new cell wall, are the cells still connected together by that same wall?
They are. Mm-hmm. And that's why, if you remember when we talked about plant tissue, remember there was some tissue where cell division occurred. Okay. And what was that type of tissue called? Can anybody remember? Yeah, meristematic tissue, okay? So meristematic tissue, or tissue where the cells divide in plants, it doesn't occur in every plant or every cell in the plant. It only occurs in certain places. So for example, when you see a tree, the tree only grows at the very tip, top of the tree, at the ends of the branches, and at the base of the roots. Okay, it also actually grows out this way. But it only grows in certain areas. So not all cells in plants divide, just some of them do. Whereas in animals, pretty much all of the cells divide. Okay, with the exception of some that stop later on in life, like our brain cells and so forth. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so what you need to think of is that this is that the cell cycle, it's a constant cycle. So we started out with one 2N cell here, and by the time we go through the cell cycle, we end up with two new 2N cells. Now students sometimes get hung up on this, which is the new cell, and actually they're both new cells, okay? There's not an old cell there. Does that make sense? They're both new, okay? And so what's going to happen to these two new cells, theoretically? They're going to go through the cell cycle, and we're going to end up with more 2N cells. And what's going to happen to those four cells? They're going to go through the cell cycle. We're going to end up with 8 cells. Okay. Does that make sense to everybody? If you think about it, this kind of makes sense, because when you guys all started out, at one point in your life, you were a single cell. Correct? And now you're this multi-celled, magnificent organism. Okay. So you started out with this single cell. And then what happened with that single cell? It went through mitosis and you became 2 cells. Then you, both of those cells went through mitosis, you became 4 cells. And all of those 4 cells went through mitosis, you became 8. Then 16. Then 60, or 32. Then 64. Okay? And so forth and so on. Until you became this multi-cell organism. Alright? Any questions about that? That's why, and just another reason, another kind of logical thing that can occur here. You can give blood periodically, and it doesn't kill you. Yeah. Why? Okay, somebody said yes. It's not that bad. Because your blood cells are constantly going through mitosis. They actually go through faster than most cells in your body, because your blood cells actually die faster than most cells. Your skin cells, you're constantly producing new skin cells all of the time. In fact, another analogy just to illustrate this point. If you have a bloodhound can watch. Follow where you've been. How do they know where you've been? Yeah, every time you take a step, some of your skin cells fall off. So when you sit down in this chair this morning, you're sitting down into a big old pile of cells that the previous person left, and you're going to leave a big old pile of cells. Okay. So every time you take a step, some of your cells are actually falling off. Okay. Any questions about mitosis? Now, meiosis, on the other hand, is a linear process. It's not a cycle. Okay, but the linear process is actually very similar to what we talked about in mitosis, and even a lot of the same terminology or similar terminology is used. Okay, so in meiosis, again, it's a linear process. Linear means that there's a distinct beginning and a distinct end. All right, whereas a cycle, it really, there's no end to a circle, right? Okay, theoretically. So at the beginning of meiosis, we start out with a 2N cell, just a normal, typical 2N cell. It's a germ cell, okay? It's not a somatic cell. And we go through a period that we call interphase. Okay. What do you suspect the DNA is going to look like in interphase? What form is it going to be in? Chromatin, okay, chromatin. So this part is no different than mitosis here. There are 3 parts to interphase, or 3 periods. The first, surprisingly enough, or not surprisingly enough, is what we call the G1 period. Any guesses as to what we call the second period?
Yes.
And third?
G2.
And what happens in the G1 period?
Growth.
What happens in the S period?
Synthesis
of DNA. So at this point, the cell becomes 4N, right? Okay. And what happens in the G2 period?
Growth
again. So far, it's exactly the same as what we talked about, right? Okay. And actually, it'll stay the same for a little bit longer. Then we have what we call our first division period. Okay. And in this first division period, there are two large parts of the division. The first is what we call meiosis I, and the second is what we call cytokinesis. Okay. Now within meiosis I, there are actually four stages. Anybody want to take a guess as to what they're called?
Prophase,
metaphase, anaphase, telophase? Actually, not quite, but close. Okay, it's called prophase I, okay, because there's going to be two cellular divisions in meiosis. Now, what do you think happens in prophase I? Chromosomes start to form. What else? Nuclear membrane starts to disappear. Okay. In metaphase I, what do you think happens? Chromosomes line up in the center of the cell. And you can kind of follow up through here in this picture. So chromosomes line up in the center of the cell. Anaphase I, chromosomes are pulled to opposite ends of the cell. Right here. Okay. In telophase I, what happens? Two nuclei start to form and chromosomes start to unwind, right? Then we have cytokinesis. What's cytokinesis? When the cell divides, okay? Now, up to this point, is there any difference between mitosis and meiosis?
No.
There's not. Just we changed some names here in the processes, but really, in what's actually happening, there is no difference. But here's where things change, okay? So now, from this point on, we're going to have two cells. And both of those cells, each of those cells is going to be how many N?
2N.
Okay? So then we have the second cellular division period, okay, that we're going to call meiosis 2. Okay? Meiosis 2 has two main parts to it. It has the meiosis part. Okay, or I should say division 2, this is division 2. And meiosis 2 is this part, then we have another cytokinesis event. Okay. Meiosis 2 has four parts to it. This shouldn't be too surprising. It's called what? Prophase 2, metaphase 2, anaphase 2, and telophase 2. Okay. And if we look at what happens in each of those phases, that shouldn't be surprising either. Okay? In prophase 2, what happens? The chromosomes start to appear, nuclear membrane breaks down. Or metaphase 2, chromosomes line up in the center of the cell, right? Anaphase 2, chromosomes are pulled to opposite ends of the cell. Telophase 2, two new nuclei start to form, and the chromosomes start to unwind. And then we have two cytokinesis events, and we get four haploid cells. Another name for just a generalized haploid cell is a gamete. Okay. A gamete is just any haploid cell. Okay. So at this point then, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 1N cells. Okay. And the process stops at this point. So again, it's a linear process. We have a distinct beginning and ending to this process. Okay. Any questions about meiosis? So the first part of meiosis, up until this point right here, it's exactly the same or almost exactly the same. It's exactly the same as mitosis, but we use some different terminology, right? Instead of using mitosis here, we use meiosis one. Instead of using prophase, metaphase, anaphase, telophase, we use prophase one, metaphase one, anaphase one, telophase one. But then at that point, the cell goes through the second meiotic division so that we can end up with four haploid or one-end cells. Okay. Any questions about meiosis? Okay.
So it ends with four one-end cells, not two-end?
Four one-end cells.
Okay.
Because see here, the first division, right here, we divide it into two two-end cells. Okay? And each of those two two-end cells are going to go through meiosis two. That's where a lot of students get confused, really. Yeah.
So how does it divide again? Does it have to replicate twice to get back up?
No, it doesn't replicate again. And that's where the difference occurs. Okay. So it's basically going, if you want to think of it this way, you're going from a 4N cell to two 2N cells, and those two 2N cells divide again, and we get four 1N cells.
So after that, the germ can't replicate anymore?
Yeah, they can't divide again. Unless, what happens?
They combine.
They combine with another 1N cell, and then they can start the process of mitosis. Okay, that makes sense?
Yeah. What's an example of a
one-end
cell?
A one-end cell?
Yeah.
Sperm, ovum, and humans. Those would be the two types of one-end cells. Sperm is one end, ovum is one end. Okay. So what we're making here is we're making basically gametes. Gametes are reproductive cells, so cells that can fuse to make new individuals. All right, brand new individuals. So we're not just making new cells here, we're making new potentially new individuals. Okay. Any questions about mitosis or meiosis or the cell cycle? Okay, we're actually going to talk about, we're going to use the human system as an example. Okay, and what we're going to do is we're going to talk about gamete production in humans next time that we meet. And the gamete production in humans, one type is what we call spermatogenesis, okay. The other is what we call oogenesis. The terms make sense if you break them down. Spermato are the sperm, and what does it mean to have genesis occur? What does oogenesis mean? The beginning, okay. So it means sperm beginning. Oogenesis is the beginning of what? Ovums. Okay. That's the term we use female gamete production is oogenesis. We're going to talk about spermatogenesis first, and then we're going to go to oogenesis. Spermatogenesis is actually pretty easy to understand. Oogenesis is much more complicated. Females are more complicated, right? All the guys, but it is more complicated. It's not straightforward meiosis. There's some modifications that occur in oogenesis. We'll talk about why those modifications occur. Okay. Any questions? This is one thing that amazes me. Kids, you guys, I should call you guys kids now. You guys are all in college. And by now, you should know all about the reproductive system and how it works. It's surprising to me how few students know how gametes are formed and why they form the way they do. My guess is in here there might be two or three of you that really know how they form well. Okay. So, any questions about mitosis or meiosis? Okay. And I should mention, next time we meet, I'd like to talk about this, but I think what's today? Wednesday. We might go over the test on Friday. We might just talk about gametogenesis, but if I get the test done by Friday, we'll probably go over the test. So.